Thank you, Brother Jim. Somebody had said something on the chat. Why don't you go ahead and share that with us?
Okay, brother, and it's a request. A request for some clarification. You know, the scripture there that I put on the chat, it's talking about how the nobles and the princes digged with their spades and well came out. So my question is, does it mean that, you know, some wells or some members of the body may need some form of external assistance from the leadership, from the ministries to be able to function? So it's just a request for some clarification. Thank you.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, you go ahead, Jim.
Well, I believe the question is that are there some that are in the body that are in need of healing? Because, you know, that one scripture said that the lame shall walk there. You know, there are every kind of attacks upon the body. And yes, there are those that have trouble walking in this word. And yes, God wants us to lift them up. And there are some that can't see. You know, I believe, and I think you'll agree, that every time we open this word, something new and fresh is open to us. And so, and then again, we want to share that and give that out. And so, yes, I believe that, yes, there is much body ministry that is needed, necessary in the body.
Yes. Amen. I'll say amen to what Jim has said. Those of you that have been getting the sunlight daily word, devotion, I guess it's called, I think you'll notice that one or maybe more have been talking about feeding the flock of God. And it's a word that Brother Duciel has shared in time past, that we do have, every one of us has a responsibility to feed the flock.
Yes.
And those of us who are more mature, yes, if you see the brother, the sister that is having trouble, the lame, the halt, the blind, yes, that is the responsibility of the body to feed the flock, nurture the flock. Did that answer your question, brother?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I want to say that is a true word, because that's why we have in Ephesians chapter 4 the ministry of the shepherd. The ministry of the shepherd shows that there is sheep, there is a flock that must be nourished. So there are, apart from the body, apart from the fact that it is the responsibility of every man, but it is also a grace, a calling, an anointing, a gift that God puts upon the hearts of certain individuals in the body to perform that ministry of the shepherd. to feed the flock.
Amen. You know, amen. And the ministry of the shepherd is not just carried on by one man. Amen. And I believe the thing that we learned also is the ministry of the shepherd is carried on very much by the sisters as well. Shepherding, I should say. Not the fivefold ministry, but the shepherding, the gifting of the shepherding.
When we talk about feeding the flock, it is synonymous with allowing the water to flow out from us.
Yeah.
You know, it's no good to stop that water up within us. Because then it's like what we see, the Dead Sea is dead because there's no outlet. So in order to have a good, healthy body, you need a good, healthy flow of that water, the giving out of the Spirit of God. Much like we talked with Jeremy today.
Mm-hmm.
His very life is giving out of the Spirit of God, and that brings new life. So we should all be sharing that water flow that is within us. It's healthy, it's good for us. And for the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Larry. I agree.
Well, is there any other word to share, question to ask? Brother Mike, you've been awful quiet today. Did you have something to say, Connie? I see you're unmuted.
I was just gonna ask, what are some of the examples of the things that can block the flow of the water coming out of us?
And, well, there's a good question for you, Jim.
Well, anywhere that the enemy sees an opening. We all know where the opening is. You know, some may be very sensitive and have an anger issue, whatever. I can tell you that for me personally, it's my mind and how I use my mind. And, I guess I can tell on myself. I like to go on YouTube and watch little videos of people doing sporting events or whatever. And I can waste so much time just doing nothing with that time. I could be reading a book. I could be doing many things. But wherever there's a weakness, the enemy will take advantage of it. And he will stop the wells, stop the flow. And as soon as the well, as soon as the flow is stopped, then it begins to dry up. But as soon as the well is unstopped, springs of water begin to spring up. So it's whatever the weakness.
Distractions.
Yeah, distractions, Joanne said, you know, anything the enemy can use in our life that are weaknesses will stop the flow. And I think we all know that. And we can all have different experiences and different things, but it's still, it doesn't matter. It'll stop the flow. Immediately, life begins to dry up. But as soon as the flow begins, life begins to flow. And then we have something to give out.
So basically what you're saying, Jim, is anything that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God.
Correct.
Well, the thought came to me that if there's sin in our lives, that will stop the flow.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yes.
We're talking bad about our brother or our neighbor. We're jealous. I mean, just sin, any kind of sin in your life will definitely stop the flow of the Spirit.
Well, there's a list in Ephesians, you know, of how you can grieve the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that would stop the flow.
Joanne said that there's a list in Ephesians. Is it five, Joanne?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Four, it might be four.
That will stop the flow. Well, you have to help me find.
I'm looking, I'm getting it.
It's in probably verse, what, 30, 31?
No, it's, yeah, it's the end. Yeah, it's the end. It's 30.
Okay.
4:30, Ephesians 4:30.
Okay. Oh, I was on the wrong page. Okay.
But you have to start with 29.
Okay, so Joanne says Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not. See, that's stopping the flow. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And this is the things that Joanne is talking about that will stop the flow. Let all bitterness, a root of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yeah, that's very good, Joanne.
You have to go read, read one and two of
okay.
Five.
And then she said five, verse one and two. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Amen. This is just practical Christianity. I mean, this is Christianity 101, where we live, where we walk.
Excuse me, shouldn't we go a little further down the verses of chapter 5.
The yeah, other verses. Just continue. Yeah.
Sure, go right ahead, brother.
Brother Urias.
Okay, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Amen. So all these come under what Sister Rita has said. Sin.
Brother Larry, what was the scripture that you read in Peter? And I wonder if you could give the reference and read that again, because that was very good.
Yeah.
What you, Joanne agrees. It's, if you could just give the reference and read that again.
Okay. Let me find it. It's in First Peter. I'm getting there eventually. Ephesians, okay. Thessalonians, I got to get to before James. After Hebrews, I'm going to get to Peter eventually. After James. Okay. First Peter chapter 2. Starting on, starting with 11. Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul.
Oh, yeah.
Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles." See, this is presenting ourselves before the world.
Right.
Whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, which Gentiles, worldly people, will always do to us Christians. They speak against us. They'll come against us. But they see our good works. In other words, we don't retaliate. We don't repay evil for evil. As Jesus said, no, you repay good for evil. So they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, and believe me, they behold our good works. People in the world, when they come against you and they want to destroy you one way with words or even more than that, and you don't retaliate, you repay good for them, that does something to them. It changes them. So they behold your good works and will glorify God in the day of their visitation. In other words, every man, woman has many, I believe, more than one day of visitation. The Holy Spirit keeps coming, you know, a number of until you accept Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, he gives many opportunities. What I call, those are all days of visitation of God to the non-believer. And it is because our works, our deeds, our good words that do not retaliate against their evil words, that influences them. And that helps to open the doors, you know, for the Holy Spirit to come in and bring redemption to them. And that's the way I see it. Okay.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
This happened, I said in the beginning, this happened to me when I was working in the mill. There was an individual who didn't like me because I had to oversee his work, and I had to go to him and say, listen, you're not doing your job right. You know, I can't keep doing it for you. And, you know, he became angry with me, didn't like me, and, you know, said all kinds of evil things against me to people. And I was just kind, I would say, did not respond to his anger or bitterness towards me. I was open and tried to help him. And he's seen that. And, you know, over time, you could see him changing in his attitude towards me. And, you know, basically he saw a spirit in me that was not hostile, did not repay, you know, didn't act like he acted towards me. And, you know, eventually we became good friends. And I believe that ultimately it changed him. And I believe that the Holy Spirit got through and he became a brother, you know. So it takes time. And this is, Jeremy, this is the same with you. You don't have to, you know, just bombard somebody. And I think you know that, you know, just every time he comes, you know, just open up and say what you have to say. Let the Holy Spirit bring the words to you. And that's going to, he'll keep softening and coming more and more. And before you know it, he's going to end up being a friend of yours, you know, and a brother. Amen.
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 You know,
so that was a short answer.
I had another thought for Connie's question too, is what can stop, you know, the flow of God? Our own will can stop the flow of God.
Of course, many things. There we go.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, I was really thinking about when we see what is stopping the flow of God to flow through us, through flow among us, and for me it's really what he's speaking about here in Revelation chapter 11. And it is Revelation chapter 11, and he's telling him to measure the temple. And he said, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. It's a place of letting the Spirit of God flow through us. But then he said, and the court which is without the temple, leave it out and measure it not. And I really believe that when we start to stop God flowing, is because we are starting to measure the outer court in one another. We are starting to measure something that we should not measure. It means that if I am really want to move by God, and I start to really focus on the carnality in my brother, I cannot flow through him, allow him to flow through me. I start to really see my brother, there is something that I know about him, his attitude, his behavior, something that is in his life, that is in his life for 5 years ago. Oh, he must be like that still. I am measuring his outer court, brethren. And we were told not measure this carnality in one another. Measure the temple and those who worship therein. Measure the temple is to measure one another in the city of the living God. Among us, we are a building in this beautiful city of God, and we measure one another according to the city of God, the life that is flowing in the city, but the outer court, our old life, our old carnal nature, we don't measure it anymore. It's have to let it be outside. And I think that is most of the things that I know about my own life, that I have met people, met my brethren and sister, and I know that I did that by on my own. I have measured my brother through carnality. It was wrong. I had to go before God and put my face to the floor. Forgive me, God, that I was measured my brother through the carnality, through the outer court. Told me not to measure it. Forgive me. And I believe that is what he means when he says, leave the outer court in that place where it is. Sometimes we are coming out and in and out and in. And we know that when we have been in the outer court and coming in, it can be a little dust on our feet, you know. And that is why Jesus said, you have to watch the feet of one another. If I see something that is in your life, I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to speak about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to help you. And I think that is really what I see, the stopping the flow within the spirit when we start to focus on the flesh of one another. But thank you, Jim, for this word. It's you know this word about the well, what Abraham had, and Isaac dig it up again. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's not only to save a people that is unsaved, but it's also digging out the earth of one another. There is sometimes a little dust or earth that are coming into our life, and we need one another to dig it out again, to have a fresh water. So thank you.
I would like to add one more thing. For those of you that have been around a while, you know that for years and years, I was involved with leading the worship, and I really didn't take the pulpit. I didn't really have that gifting or that ministry. And then little by little, God began to give me words, and I struggled with it. I still do. I struggled with it this morning. Are you sure, Lord, this is the word to bring? And I went to prayer. Joanne and I went to prayer, and I said, I really need to know. Is this the word of the Lord? Is this what you want me to share? And I went to bed, and I woke up, and I had this dream. And in the dream, I was talking to Brother Campbell on the phone. And I was supposed to go to where he is and to have a word, to share a word. Evidently, he was in meetings someplace. And I'm talking to him on the phone. And I said, Brother Campbell, I can't make it. There's no way I can make it to where you are to give this word. And I'm not sure if this is the word that I should bring. And this is what Brother Campbell said to me. He said, send it out. Send it out. And it was a confirmation to me that this is the word of the Lord for every one of us. That God wants this river of life to flow not only in us, but through us, because the world we live in is dark and getting darker. There are a lot of hurting people, I mean, very troubled and hurting people out there. And God wants this river of life to flow out. And so I believe this is a word of the Lord for every one of us. Don't stop the flow. Let the river of life flow in us and out of us. Amen.
Amen. I'm so blessed, Brother Jim, when you were bringing the word, it just occurred to me, presently I work in a farm camp away from the community. So once in a while, I stroll down a distance of about 11, 15 minutes to the community to get some stuff. So while stepping out of the farm camp, this song in Psalm 56 that you read came to me, God is my refuge and strength. So I was singing that song while I was going to the community. Then on my way coming back, the other song about there's a mighty river flowing. That is the song I sang right through till I came back to the farm. You know, so when you began to, you know, speak these words, I was so thrilled that this is the word that was in the spirit, and God was just giving to me a little bit ahead of time, like a prepping. So when you started speaking, I was so glad. So I know it is really the word of the Lord, and I believe that it has helped us very much. Amen.
Yeah, and I want to say one thing more. Rita did a very nice job with that song, There's a Mighty River, and there was a quickening. Mm-hmm. If you notice, there was a quickening while we were singing it, and it was the Holy Spirit saying, yes, this is the word of the Lord for the people of God, mm-hmm. for this hour, for this time. Amen. So thank you, Rita. Praise God.
Yeah, Jim, I was remembering, just as you were beginning the word here, and you mentioned the different flows and the different heights of the river and the latter rain. And it was, Brother George Warnock would be among those in the latter rain.
Yeah.
And he was actually physically present at that North Battleford school in Canada when that move began.
Mm-hmm.
You know, brethren, it has been a long time since there's been a real stirring of the Spirit. We came into the tail end of that thing, you can call it the latter rain, but it wasn't called that anymore. It was called the charismatic renewal by the time we got there. And I believe that we could say probably the late 60s, early 70s. I got into it in the 70s. How long ago has that been? That's been 50 years ago, brethren.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's time. God isn't going to let a whole generation go without seeing
the yes.
Something is on the cusp. Something is very near. And you know, I don't know whether these terrible things have been happening for years and years, but the kind of news we're getting I just cannot believe the demonic activity that is getting into people, killing one another, you know, just terrible things that people are doing to one another. Yeah. Have we always been this rotten and just didn't know about it? I don't think so. These things weren't happening when we were growing up as kids. The world has changed. And the great darkness is time time for something to happen, time for something of God. You know, God will not endure, he will not overlook what's going on without bringing some measure of judgment. But along with that measure of judgment, brother, he's going to bring and manifest his glory in his
yes.
sons. Amen.
Amen. You know, I believe that we should begin to pray along those lines that Mark just said. Lord, I want to see the move of God. I want to see, like Larry mentioned, the visitation. I want to see that visitation. I want that river to flow right, blow right through me, a mighty river flowing, a mighty, the force of that river. I want it to flow and blow out of me all of those things that are stopping the flow. And I want it to flow out and touch others around me. I want them to know that the river's in me. And I think we can pray that way. And we should pray that way. Let us agree that in our prayer time, we're going to pray for that river to flow. And we can see the visitation of God.
Amen. Well, I think that pretty well sums it up, Jim. Unless we have anything more, I guess we can bring our meeting today to a close. And we want to thank each one for all you've contributed, because it is the body that brings the life together, not just one or two, but it's the body. So thank you all. I'm going to shut the recording off here.